How was y'all's Easter? That good, huh? All right. We're going to go over, I think we've done this sermon before, or talked about it before, but we're going to go in a different angle. If we have, it's going to be different way. I can't remember, it all runs together. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read 13 to 25. It's a little bit of scripture, but and then we're going to talk about it. And the reason that God laid this on my heart was, you know, you get in trouble when you schedule things sometimes, you know, outside of God's plan, or it could be, if you didn't consult with God first. So a good thing was we had today, we're going to do communion, as you see, after the service today. And so God put it on my heart to do a sermon that I had to do in like 15 minutes. So bear with me. So leading up to communion and stuff, and because I think it's very important. Let me take that back. It is very important to know what communion really is, what it's for, and what it's not for. Okay? We got to take this serious, and we're going to get into that in a minute. So, but leading up to that, we need to discuss what's important for you and I as Christians. Okay? What it's like to be holy. And so, you know, you hear, how many, all your life, if you're in and out of churches and stuff, you always hear, you know, you got to be a Christian. You got to be a Christian. And you do. You know, you need to accept the Lord. But what does that look like? What is that? And we have discussed that before. So I'm not going to go into any great detail, but I'm going to focus on one little area that Peter writes, and we're going to talk about that. So y'all bear with me. Those of you who don't know, and I'm okay, but I went to the hospital this week. I got pneumonia, or had pneumonia. I guess I still do. So I'm kind of, I don't have no energy. I'm out. I'm kind of zapped. So I ain't got no jokes for you today. It's all serious business. I ain't gonna mess with y'all. So I'm joking. Let me just read scripture. So let's turn to 1 Peter. Let me get there first. 1 Peter, chapter 1. We're gonna start in verse 13. It says, therefore, listen, pay attention to that word, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, self-control, keep that in mind, sober, set your hope on grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written. This is kind of plain to the point here. Be holy because I'm holy. That's in Leviticus, what he quoted. Be holy because I'm holy. Since you called on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, lived out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Remember Easter, resurrection, that we just had last week. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from your heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Dear Heavenly Father, let's take these words that you gave us. Just break them down, Lord. Just open our hearts to what you have us receive. Give us insight on your scripture, Lord. And just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So while we break these down, we're going to talk about what Peter is writing. And so what Jesus did for us last week when he come up out of the grave and resurrected. And that gave us a hope that we needed, that we have eternal life, as long as we make that choice. So we're going to look at that. And so what does it mean to be holy? And so, you know, I think the Western society has put a negative spin on being holy. Bible thumpers, or is that what they call them? Bible thumpers. You got to walk around with smoke and all that's, you know, Hollywood. We can take the Hollywood out of it and put the Jesus back in it. That's what we're going to look at. And that daily walk with Christ. And it's not complicated. That's what we need to get from that. We don't need to walk on eggshells, walking around thinking, oh, I got to be perfect. You are perfect through Christ. That's the only way. You can't be. So Jesus took all that away. We need to understand, when he came out of that grave, he took all that worry, all that stuff, I call it, out of everything. We don't need to worry about it. We just need to be holy and follow him. And Peter is trying to tell us that. We got to live based on the priceless gift of salvation. Notice it said, the priceless gift. Somebody gives you a gift, they don't expect it back. And fast forward, we're going to talk about it more towards the end. If you can't give nothing away unless you have it. So that gift that God provided, if you don't have it, you can't give it to nobody else. You can't share it with somebody else. So we need to get our hearts right. We need to listen to what God is trying to tell us about being holy and what to do. You know, being holy don't mean being a priest or a pastor or, you know, the big picture is, what is your daily life like? What is your daily life? I don't care who you are, what you are, what you do, what you've done, you think you've done. It don't matter. Jesus took all that and threw it away for you. We got to start with your mind. You got to discipline your mind. Be sober-minded. Now, I don't mean recovering from a hangover. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is self-control. You got that self-control. We get in trouble with the word self a lot of times, okay? But the difference is, when you have Jesus involved in it, everything's possible. Everything. You can have self-control if you give it to the Lord. You can have self-control if you obey his commands. We got to get our mind right, and we got to set our hope. Remember I told you last week, if y'all don't remember, hope is two different definitions. We got the hope that we think of, man, I hope I win the lottery. I hope that, you know, that kind of hope. We ain't talking about that kind of hope. We're talking about the hope of eternal life that Jesus provided. It's there. Fully on the grace brought by Jesus Christ. The grace, the gift, gave it to us. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires from the time of your ignorance. We're born in a fleshly body. You know, Jesus was tempted for 40 days. We get tempted. That's okay. It's not a problem until you give in to that. Jesus didn't. And we don't need to either. We need to rely on him to get us through it. And so I always say this all the time. How did Jesus walk on this earth for 33-ish years before he died on the cross, can't talk, without sin. He relied on his Father all the time. All the time. We need to rely on our Father all the time. You know, I try not to get on my soapbox because I say it too much. And so don't play church. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that daily, everyday life of Christ. Walking with Him, talking to Him, praying to Him, sharing His Word, doing what He wants us to do. In every situation you're in, at the grocery store, at home, at church, and everywhere in between. It says, be holy in all your conduct, mirroring, the holiness of God who called you. I got a testimony. Brother Charlie has a testimony. Everybody in here has a testimony of what Christ did for you. Notice that, what Christ did for you. It's a personal choice and relationship that you should want to share with everybody else. Get that out there. And your conduct. Everything you do should be wrapped around Christ. Everything. From the time you get up in the morning, from the time you go to bed at night. Every little decision you make. Should I eat that Whataburger hamburger, Lord? Probably not. I shouldn't, but. So that's the mandate that He gave us, to be holy. You can call yourself a Christian, you better be holy. Now we're talking about the motivation for it. You need to be motivated to live for Christ, to serve Christ. Because believe it or not, there is a day when we all got to face God. Either on the good side or the bad side, either way. So you better be ready. You better prepare yourself. Live in reverent fear. I ain't talking about the fear like a ghostly fear, or whatever you want to call it. I'm talking about that deep, reverent respect. He's going to take care of business. He's going to deal with each and every one of us at some point. Remember, I like to say this all the time. He's not only going to talk to you about what you've done, but what you didn't do. That witness he told you to go, that person he told you to go witness to, and we didn't do it. I ain't got time. I got to go do this first. We need to take in consideration everything we got to do for it. You were ransomed, not with perishable silver or gold, and this is in all in Peter, what we read, but the precious blood of Christ, the spotless lamb. Do you realize what he really done for us? We talk about the crucifixion a lot, and we should. I had a conversation with my mother not just the other day. We talk about a lot of scripture and different things. You realize what he went through before he even got to the cross? He was half dead before he even got to the cross. So, if you want to get more details on it, you need to read about the crucifixion. So he did it for us. And we talked, I had a whole sermon on this before, but had that confidence in God. Are you confident in your walk with Christ right now? Yes. Need to be. You need to have that confidence. If you don't have that confidence, what's holding you back? Do you not even have Christ? Or if you have Christ, because you know what? We are our own worst enemies. We judge ourselves more than we need to, which, think about it, is a disrespect to God. What did God tell you? I cleaned you up. I cleaned you up. And now I did that for you. And you don't have the confidence in me now because you're beating your own self up. We need to give it to God. Your faith and hope are placed in God who raised Christ from the dead. Raised from the dead. Not only he hung on the cross, died for you and I, but he also defeated death and come back out of the tomb. So that's the mandate, that's the motivation for it. What about the manner of it? What's it look like? What's it look like? Can people look at you and know that you're a Christian, a follower of Christ? That's a broad area. I got it. What they see in all your situations in life. What they see. They see a person that's putting their faith and trust in God all the time, or they see a person that don't handle it too well. Let me tell you something. You can't handle it well at all, but you can with Christ in you. And so you notice the theme here? It's all about having Christ in your life. So we need to make sure we have Christ in our life. Verses 22 through 25 that I read, it says, having purified your souls by obeying the truth. What's the truth? Who's the truth? That's Jesus. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Start with John. I don't care how you read it, just whatever order. I prefer John. Just kind of loosen you up a little bit. So, the truth is the word of God. Read John 1:1 is the reason I said that when you get a chance. Having purified your soul by obeying the truth, you got to know what the truth is, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord, that died on the cross for you. You got to accept it. You got to make that choice. And once you do, then you got to live it. You got to obey it. Love one another earnestly with a pure heart. And we talk about that a lot. We kind of jokingly say it's hard to love some people. And just like being obedient to Christ, you can't do it. You can't with him. You got to have him in your life. You got to saturate yourself with Christ and his word in order to do these commandments and these obey and follow what he wants you to do. You have been born again through the imperishable living word of God. And don't worry, if you're in here, if you don't have Christ, you'll have that opportunity later. And we'll get to that. Let's don't get ahead of ourselves. You can accept Christ right where you're at. I'm trying not to do an invitation right now, but if it's time, it's time. Instead of, I don't care if you got whatever you got to do, you get Christ in your life. Let me believe it at that right now. You have been born again through the imperishable living word of God. And Peter was talking about, he was talking about that contrast of temporary human life like the fading of the grass with the eternal word of the Lord, which is the good news, that's the word of God, the good news preached to you. Again, the good news, the truth, read the Gospels. What that means, the truth. So we need to make sure that we have Christ and we obey what he says. We're called to be holy. We're called, each and every one of us, don't get hung up on, I was called to preach. Not everybody's called to preach, but you are called at least to be holy. Which in turn gives you a testimony and a witness to somebody else. They see how you're living, how you follow Christ, and what you're doing. That's the testimony in itself. You can witness somebody without ever saying a word the closer you get to Christ. So how should we live in a world that doesn't share our values? You know, the world, I like my old curse talk, jacked up. No way to put it. It is. We know that. And we shouldn't be surprised that it's jacked up. Read Matthew 24 when you get a chance. Jesus lays it all out for us. We should not be surprised that the world is the way it is right now. Should not be surprised. Should be concerned because we live and we're part of it. But got to remember, though, we're passing through. Whatever happens here doesn't matter. We're going to move on to live with Him for eternity. So the answer to the question was, how should we live in a world that doesn't share our values? We live with hope. Remember that hope I was talking about? Holiness and love. You at least do those three. You work on those three things right there. And you're answering the call to be holy. You're well on your way. It don't happen overnight. All y'all can look back. All you've been Christians for is before your hair turned gray. It's a process. It's like a baby growing up, going through there. What we set your, we talking about hope. What's the hope? We got to set it on grace, on God's grace. That's the hope. Because what He done for us, His grace. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Set your hope fully on grace. Where is your hope today? I'm going to throw out a series of questions to you. I want you to honestly, truly answer for yourself. Where's your hope today? Are you where you need to be with God, Christ, right now? Partial hope in God leads to unstable living. That's kind of falls in line with what I was saying. You know, the when times are good, your hope is probably okay in Christ. Oh, everything's going pretty good. I follow Christ. But when it starts going south on you, you still got that same hope. Your circumstances should not define you. You should define the circumstances with Christ in your life. You take Christ in every circumstance in your life, every one of them. Because let me tell you the one thing that does not change, and that's Christ. He's the same today, tomorrow, yesterday. He's the same. Full hope, total hope, produces steady faith, consistency. And here's a kicker. Holiness isn't optional. It's a calling. We already said that. It's a call. It's a calling. It's not an option. You don't get to pick and choose when you want to be holy. You don't get to pick it when it benefits you. You pick it all the time. Don't conform to the world, to the former lusts of your old ways. Reflect God's character in every area, not just your church life. I told you I'm trying to stay away from my soapbox on playing church. I'm just hitting the highlights on it. I'm trying not to go down that path. Every day, all the time. Holiness means set apart. Are you set apart? Do people see a difference in you in the world than the world? Holiness is set apart. Different in values, your speech, your priorities. What's your priorities? What's He tell us to do in Matthew? Seek first His kingdom Are you doing that? Are you seeking God first? And then you get to do all the other stuff? Or are you just choosing God when it's convenient for you? And conduct yourself with fear throughout your time. That reverent fear, that respect, all through time. God didn't save you to stay the same. He saved you to be different. Why do you think Christ died on the cross? Why do you think they crucified him? He was different. He went against the status quo, or however you say that B word. He went against the grain. He went against what they was doing. They messing up their stuff. Now let me clarify. He was crucified because he chose to be, and that was, he fulfilled prophecy. He let them crucify him. But they crucified him because of his actions. Peter said, you know, not silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ. Prioritize, put that in there. It's okay to have silver and gold. It's okay to have stuff. It's okay to do things, as long as the priority is in the right order. Your life is not cheap. It was purchased at an infinite cost. You realize I can't put enough emphasis on it, what he did for us. It cost him his life. It cost him everything. But he was willing to do it because that's how much love he had for us. And what he's asking in return is to follow him and be Christ-like, be holy. I'm trying not to make nobody mad here. Love one another deeply. And we've talked about that before. Sometimes it's hard to love certain people, right? Love, first of all, is from your heart. Just like playing church, don't play love. Don't pretend like, you know, y'all ever met people that when you see them, you know, in your face, they're all good to go. But you better walk out backwards because they're going to stab you in the back if you turn around. Don't be that person. And I try not to look directly at somebody because he looked right at me when he said that. No, I don't. I'm just scanning the room. Holiness is not cold or distant. It produces genuine love. It's not fake politeness. You ever seen that person with that smile that their face is about to rip off because they're trying to force it so hard? Not surface level kindness, but earnest sacrificial love. It's not how much you know, but how deeply you love. You get your heart right and set on that, and then when you get in God's word, it would just flow through you. It would just flow. Do you read God's word, or do you study God's word? There's a difference. You can read something, have a little bit of knowledge, or you can study it and let it become a part of you. His living word. Because remember, you're born again through the word, Jesus Christ. For you have been born again through the living and enduring word of God. Human life is temporary. It's like the grass that withers. God's word, I want you to listen to these three things that God's word is. Eternal, unchanging, we hit on all that, and life-giving. That's where that love comes in. Eternal, unchanging, life-giving. Your new life is rooted in something that never fades, Jesus Christ. And Peter, in his writing, what we just read, says, Peter gives us four anchors for Christian living. Fully hope in God's grace. Give it all you got. 100%. Live holy in every area of your life. Walk reverently with God. That respect. Don't be scared of Him. That deep respect. Now, if you don't have Christ, you better be scared. And we'll talk about that later. And love deeply in your heart. You're not who you used to be. You're redeemed, reborn, and called to reflect God. I'm going to leave you with these four questions. I think it's four. Yep, four questions. You ready? Where is my hope anchored? Where's your hope at? Is it where it needs to be with Christ? What areas of your life are not yet holy? What do you need to work on? And that's okay. Just recognize it, realize it, and do something about it. Give it to Christ. Am I living casually or reverently before God? Is my love for others real and active? I want you to think about those questions. You Christians in here, that's for you. Those who are not Christians, you'll have opportunity for an invitation in a minute before we do communion. And the reason I wanted to, let me take the eye out of, the reason God changed the sermon to this before communion is take that communion serious as His ordinance. If you're not lit, there's something you need to clean up in your life, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it here in a little bit. Or if you just need Christ in your life, you have the opportunity to do it. Do not partake in communion if you fall in one of those categories. If you need to clean something up, clean it up. Then partake in it. If you need to have Christ, get Christ, then partake in it. This is serious business. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to get the musicians to come forward. We're going to do a song of invitation. I'm going to stand right down front. Me standing down front does not mean nothing. But what it does mean is if you need one of those things that we talked about, cleaning yourself up, accepting Christ, you don't need me. You need Christ. If you need me for some guidance, I'm here for you. If you need to just come up here, you come up here. If you need to pray at the altars, whatever you need to do, or where you at, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. You don't need to be in a specific place at a specific time. If the Holy Spirit is working on you, calling on you, respond. Do something with it. And like I said, I'm up front if you need me. But don't get hung up that you got to come see me. You don't. This is between you and God. Dear Heavenly Father, let's take this opportunity, Lord, and let's get our hearts right for you, Lord. And just get ready for we do this ordinance that you command us to do from time to time. And just open our minds, our hearts. Just thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.